Hey everyone, it's Nathan Shireman, Campus Life Pastor at our Lewis Center campus. I'm excited to record this Drivecast because it's on one of my favorite topics in the whole wide world. No, it's not 1990s grunge music and how it affects society to this day. No, instead, I'll tell you what it is in just a quick second. But first, similar to the past few weeks, we're starting Monday off with a brand new practice from our message series. So what is this week's practice that we're talking about? Well, it's community. Yes, this is where you cheer and applaud because you're listening to a Drivecast about community. You know, community is one of the best things to talk about and even better to practice. So I'm going to trust that you've cheered appropriately, and now we will move on. Have you ever thought about why we go to church, why we spend time in life group? Have you really paused and pondered it? Because let's be honest, it's a little bit weird, right? Like if you put your mind to it, you'll see it's full of very strange actions. You know, actions that we might be familiar with, but others may not be familiar with. Like we sing together. We're reading stuff from an ancient text and talking about it. Praying together. And then in some scenarios, we eat chips and salsa and grab a cup of coffee. So from an outsider's point of view, it's gotta be weird. Now, I've been doing this stuff my entire life because my awesome parents, they modeled it for me and raised me in the church. So it's second nature to some degree. But it's important for me to step back sometimes and think about things from an outsider's point of view. This kind of helps me understand the why behind what I do and what we do. So when we have to explain what we're doing to someone who isn't familiar with what we're doing, we need to understand and quite frankly be able to articulate why we're doing it, or we're just going to sound crazy. So the why we do what we do leads to purpose. So back to the question at hand, why do we go to church? Why was the church established? Why do we spend time in life group? Why would we take valuable time to hang out with a small group on the weekdays and a larger group on the weekends when we have a million one things to do? Other things to do, right? What's the point? Well, there's a number of answers to these questions, but none so important as community. Now, God doesn't want us to be isolated. He wants us to be together. Together is better. If we look all throughout the Bible, it's full of togetherness. Old Testament, New Testament, when people are with commonality or getting together, it's really powerful. The church is no different. It's not just a thing we do on Sunday mornings. It's a transformational time where we can praise God together, serve one another, and learn together. And life groups, they're not just a thing we do to take up more time in our week to socialize with others. No, it's to support one another, to live life together, to spur one another on, and to take a next step in our spiritual journey. So if we look at these two things through a lens of ritual and not through a lens of relationship, we're missing the boat big time. Now, the church is supposed to be relational, communal. This is what Christ intended it to be, not some I'll show up when I can and check the box to win his favor type scenario. No, instead, the church is described as the bride of Christ. So think about how important the church is to Jesus to call it his bride. This title, it doesn't sound like something we should do when we have the time. It sounds like something we should be involved in fully, engaged in fully, engaged in community, and helping the community thrive. Now we see this in Acts 1 and 2. We see some of the most pivotal moments in history. Jesus ascends into heaven, leaving his followers completely confused and bewildered for a short time. But fear not, in Acts 2, Jesus' spirit is poured out on his followers. And what's the first thing that they do? Well, they start up the church. Peter teaches, and thousands come to know Jesus' saving grace, and they start to share life together, thousands of them. In Acts 2, 42 through 47, it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. And in there, they broke bread together. They had everything in common. They gave all that they had to those in need. They met together regularly in one another's homes, consistently. And all of this resulted in, and I quote, glad and sincere hearts. I'll say that again, glad and sincere hearts. Now I can testify to this. Every time I gather with believers on Sunday morning or in my life group, when I focus on all that God is doing in and through our beautiful community of believers and I engage fully in what the Holy Spirit is doing, I walk away with a glad and sincere heart. So that's the power of authentic community. But when I approach these practices with the wrong mindset, from like a ritualistic manner, not paying attention to the joy that community brings, I walk away tired and taxed. So I encourage you, stop and ponder the why behind what you're doing. If your why, belonging to the church or a life group, is anything but, I get to be part of God's amazing community where the Holy Spirit is doing amazing things, then maybe it's time to rethink the why and pray about what you're missing. And if you do walk away each week with a glad and sincere heart, make sure you take time to thank God for his blessing of authentic community. Okay, have a great week and tune in tomorrow for more on community.